There's quite a lot that can be said about this gospel passage that we have in front of us today. But I think I'd like to start just by saying that this is a passage that is very rich in its fodder for our contemplation, for our meditation. When we're on retreat, when people go on retreat and have, say, like a guided prayer-filled experience, this is always one of the passages that, say, rises to the surface, that spiritual directors will use to see, say, where we're situated in our lives as we're, say, arriving on the retreat. It's kind of like a good check-in, because it's a passage of encounter. It's a passage of encounter, it's a passage of vocation, it's a passage of a calling, a passage about, say, where we are in our journey with God. We see the radical nature, not only of the call of Jesus here, but also the response. And so I'd like to say, I mean, this is pretty close to the beginning of Mark's gospel. It's the first chapter, verses 14 to 20. And it would be good to take your Bibles at home, find a quiet space, and read over this passage slowly and intentionally, once, twice, three times, and imagine yourself in the scene. You may find yourself at any place in the scene, in fact. One of the places that we tend to find ourselves when we read this passage reflectively, meditatively, is in the boats, right? Mending the nets, about our daily tasks, doing our job, and seeing Jesus walk by and call out to us. How do our hearts move when Jesus calls out to us to follow him? So it's ours to have that encounter even today. I mean, this is the word that is alive, but we have to make the time and space for that. So I'm just encouraging you to do that. I'd like to say then, the passage is a paradigm of discipleship. The passage presents us with perhaps the framework in which we can see our call, our being called by God, and our response to him. And I just take this one verse briefly and look through that with you. It's this. It's Jesus' call. Come after me, and I will make you fishers of men. We'll look at it in three parts. Come after me, one. I will make you, two. And finally, three, fishers of men. Okay, one, come after me. What does it mean to come after Jesus? Except perhaps here, yeah, to start with our head, to make a decision to follow him, to make a decision to put Jesus first. To say, you know, my life is not primarily about me. My life is going to be primarily about Jesus. So my work is going to be about glorifying God, my action, my life, my relationships that I live out are vocational in the sense that Jesus has called me into life. He's called me into this place. He's called me into this family. He's given me this task to follow him here, to trust him here. Too often, and we see this in the first reading, or we see it in the life of the prophet Jonah, who was called by God but didn't want to go to the Ninevites because he thought that God would extend his mercy to them. And he didn't want to be any part of extending God's mercy to Israel's enemies. So he went reluctantly, unwillingly. But we have been called and chosen to go willingly, right, to bring God's love to life for the people around us. But we have to start by making that choice. Okay, that's the first part. Come after me. Make a decision and make decisions every day to follow Jesus, to trust Jesus and to follow him. The second part, I will make you. Okay, so when we choose to follow Jesus, it doesn't stop there. It's like Jesus takes us and says, okay, well, you know, you have these gifts and talents. I want to deploy you over here for my mission. You know, this is who you are, and who you are means that we can do this or that or the other with you. No, come after me. I will make you means that Jesus is going to affect a transformation in our lives. When we encounter him, and this is true in any time we encounter Jesus, which is why I say take time to pray. Anytime we encounter Jesus, we experience a transformation, whether it's small or big, a transformation in our hearts. We're meant to live out our relationship with God heart to heart. And that entails transformation. Jesus will make us fit for his mission. And that's the third part, right? The engagement of the hands. We've seen head and heart, and now hands. Hands in the sense of what are we going to do? What are we going to do? We're going to partake in Jesus's mission when we follow him. And what is his mission? But to embody the love and mercy of God. But to extend God's loving call to all people. Okay, I will make you fishers of men. Now let me draw a quick circle and wrap it up. Jesus calls us to be fishers of men. But what is Jesus doing in this passage? He's fishing for men. Right? Jesus is not asking us to do some task that is like a tack on to anything other than who he is. What Jesus is doing is calling us to be him in his world. He's calling us to be himself, Jesus, in this world. We say that we're a body of Christ. What does it mean to be the body of Christ? Except to have Jesus as our head and be about his work, his will in the world, to embody his love for his world. That's what it means. And so I'll rip off a mission statement that I heard from a group out in Cincinnati. They said, we exist to love people of this area into relationship with Jesus. We exist to love people into relationship with Jesus. When we embody God's love, when we come after Jesus, when we allow him to transform our hearts and our lives, our families, our community, he will make us fishers of men. My friends, there's no reason why there should be any empty spaces in this church. There's no reason why we shouldn't have 10 masses every weekend. It's ours again to experience this call of Christ, to come after him, to be transformed by him, and transform his world then, one person at a time. Who is that person? Who is that person now that God is putting on your heart, right now? Who does God want you to love in your sphere of influence? Where you work or where you play, wherever. Who is that one person that God is calling you now to love? And they don't need to know why you love them. They don't need to know why you're the one steadfast person in their life. They don't need to know why you care about them. There will be a time where you can tell them why, because the love of Jesus makes it so. But let's get loving, right? Let's get loving. This is where we're so connected, right, aren't we? Now, with our phone, this is what we say. We're so connected. And yet we have less and less relationships. We have fewer and fewer relationships. Like relationships that mean something. Can the church, again, following Jesus, simply be a place of love? Yes, if we're faithful to our call. My friends, we come here day by day. We come here in every moment. We turn to God in prayer. We give him our hearts, we give him our lives, and he transforms us. And he makes us fit for this great mission, that his whole world, his whole creation, may again experience his great love.